Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio. Coming up in this bulletin, a dedicated COVID-19 community response forum is being established in Donegal. We'll have the details. The number of ICU beds at Letterkenny University Hospital has been increased from 5 to 14, with more coming on stream. The general manager of the hospital spoke earlier today on Highland Radio. We'll hear from Sean Murphy. More than 283,000 people have received social welfare payments after losing their jobs because of coronavirus. We'll have a comprehensive report. On Post says all social welfare payments will be held for collection at the post office for up to 90 days after the payment date, and the validity of driver's licences and NCCT certs will be extended. And all the other latest stories from the day as well. But we begin with confirmation earlier that there has been another increase in the instances of coronavirus north of the border. 123 new cases confirmed today, bringing the total number of cases north of the border to 533. One more death reported. 22 people who tested positive for COVID-19 in the north have now died. Meanwhile, the North's Department of Health is pledging to prioritise COVID-19 testing for staff at a Derry care home, where it has been confirmed 6 residents have tested positive for COVID-19. Foyle MLA Martina Anderson has received confirmation from the Department of Health that priority access to the local COVID-19 test centre will be afforded to own more staff who are showing symptoms. She's welcoming this and also the provision of additional personal protection equipment. However, she says while these are steps in the right direction, it shouldn't have taken a lobby to make them happen. She says there is an onus on the department to ensure that every possible step is taken to protect the residents and staff, not just at Ownmore, but at all care homes. A dedicated COVID-19 community response forum is being established in Donegal. A community support helpline has also been established to assist at-risk members of the public in accessing non-emergency and non-medical supports and also receive advice during the current pandemic. With more details, here's Michaela Clark.
At the instigation of the Housing Minister, Donegal County Council has joined with local organisations to establish a COVID-19 community response forum, which aims to ensure a coordinated community response and to enable all voluntary statutory agencies to collaborate in support of communities, particularly the most vulnerable. A confidential helpline is due to come into effect today. People can call 1800 928 982 or email COVID support@donegalcoco.ie between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. The helpline is focused primarily on ensuring vulnerable members of the community or those living alone can access deliveries of groceries, medicine and fuels. Over 20 groups are included in the COVID-19 Donegal Community Response Form, including the HSC and Garda Síochána, TUSLA, IFA, Local Link and Red Cross Donegal.
The number of beds in the ICU at Letterkenny University Hospital has been increased from 5 to 14, with 4 more coming on stream. On today's 9 to noon show, the hospital's manager confirmed 6 ICU beds were in use this morning. Sean Murphy also urged any businesses which have closed and may have hand sanitizer that they no longer need to donate it to the hospital to ensure that stocks are maintained. Mr. Murphy also confirmed that more vital equipment is on the way.
At the moment, we have capacity to go up to 14 ICU beds and 2 high dependency beds. And this morning, we're running with 6 of those 14 in use. We also are at an advanced stage in having an additional 4 beds, ICU beds, being brought online, and we've got equipment coming in, scheduled to come in this week to actually open those beds. We have a daily meeting of our coordination, our crisis management team within the hospital. We meet every morning to pull together all the various strands of activity that need to be undertaken, and we have a number of subcommittees within that. One of those is our critical care subcommittee. So they're liaison with our with HSE supplies and with national team and with our colleagues in sales to keep that equipment flowing in to get those extra beds open as quickly as possible.
Do you have enough equipment for nurses to protect them?
We have just about sufficient volumes. We are right up against the wire in some, for some aspects of PPE on a daily basis, but we've got incoming flows of that equipment. I'd like to have a lot more stocked up within the hospital. Mm-hmm. And as you will have heard, there was a flight came in from China yesterday with large supplies to the HSE. Some of that has already landed in Letterkenny, and our people in stores at the moment are going through that.
And that was the General Manager of Letterkenny University Hospital, Sean Murphy there. Well, a three-month agreement has been made for private hospitals to operate as public facilities. 19 hospitals with a capacity of under 2,000 beds with 47 intensive care units will be used by the HSE. However, the total cost of the deal has not yet been finalised. The hospitals will treat patients with coronavirus and those who need elective surgeries. It's intended to relieve pressure on the current system. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says any people who use the facilities will be treated as public patients.
The plan is to use private hospitals as part of the public system, as a partnership, on a temporary basis to provide essential services. Private hospitals may also be used to undertake urgent non-COVID-19 elective procedures being transferred to these facilities in order to free up capacity in our major public hospitals.
Meanwhile, the health minister says the private sector wants the country's health capacity to be increased. Simon Harris says the agreement will also mean more consultants are available.
As many ICU beds as possible, as many ventilators as possible, as many isolation rooms as possible. And at no point have they sought to do anything throughout this process other than help and be constructive. And we're conscious that there are 500 additional consultants currently working in the private health service. That's a massive increase in doctors that will now be working with us.
More than 283,000 people have received social welfare payments after losing their jobs because of coronavirus. The Department of Social Protection has had 323,000 individual applications from people who've been made unemployed over the past 2 weeks. With more detail, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
These figures give us the first real sense of the sheer scale of job losses because of the coronavirus. In just 2 weeks, the number of people getting a job seeker style payment from the government has more than doubled. There's been around 323,000 individual applications from people who've lost their jobs, with 283,000 payouts from the government so far. Assistant Secretary at the Department of the Taoiseach, Liz Canavan, says more still have been ruled ineligible.
15,000 applications were deemed ineligible for a variety of reasons. For example, because individuals were not fully employed, aged under 18 years, or were not previously in employment.
On top of the COVID-19 pandemic payment, 25,000 payments have been made to employers under the wage subsidy scheme. The figures show that in the region of 300,000 people have lost their jobs so far because of the coronavirus crisis. The Department of Social Protection says the number of applicants represents a 19-month wage claim load in just 14 days.
And Post has confirmed all social welfare payments will be available for collection at the post office for up to 90 days after the payment date. And Post is responding to concerns expressed by pensioners since stricter social distancing rules were introduced over the weekend. The company says a person can be nominated to collect payments on their behalf with forms available online and in post office. Head of Communications at An Post, Anna McHugh, says people shouldn't worry about the money due to them.
We want our social welfare customers at post offices not to have any anxiety or worry about their payments. Your social welfare payment will be safe and secure and waiting for you to collect it at your local post office for up to 90 days. So there's no need for any worry or anxiety. And if you're self-cocooning or if you're, you know, at home and you can't leave the house, that's not an issue either. You can nominate a temporary agent.
The validity of driver's licences and NCT certs will be extended after testing facilities were ordered to be closed. Existing documents will remain valid for those who can't get their tests done in the coming weeks. The Assistant Secretary at the Department of the Taoiseach, Liz Canavan, says they're finalising details for those who've had their tests cancelled.
The Department and the Road Safety Authority are now working on measures to address the implications of suspending these services. Specifically, the new measures will extend the period of validity of the relevant official documents. These measures are expected to be finalised in the coming days, and full details will be publicised at that stage.
A Donegal TD says it's vital that the Dáil continues to sit during the COVID-19 crisis, including this week and over the Easter period. Deputy Piers Doherty says at a time when everything is being asked of frontline health staff and other workers in essential roles, it would be incomprehensible that political accountability and scrutiny would take a backseat. He says in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, it's critical that everything that can be done is done to protect the community. He says the Dáil has a key role in that.
It's important that the elected representatives of the people in a scaled-down format that abides by all the health guidance continues to tease out the issues, address the concerns that people have, and particularly, you know, on a financial end, for example, we know that the banks are profiting on the back of this crisis. That can't be allowed. We know insurance companies aren't paying out their own policies. We know that there's a large number of workers, the cross-border workers, who are not able to avail of the pandemic unemployment payment. And there's many, many other issues, including the fact that we're inundated with calls from people on the front line in terms of personal protective equipment and them not being safeguarded against this virus. So it's really, really important in my view that when we ask others to step forward to carry out essential services, that they are at this. There needs to be looking and debating and looking at other measures that we need to introduce to keep our community safe continues to meet over the time ahead.
Can the Dáil function, given Sean O'Friel's advice to Mark McSharry last week that because of the counting of votes in the Shannon election and the fact that there can't be 11 Taoiseach's nominees appointed to the Shannon this week, that effectively the Oireachtas can't function?
Well, the Oireachtas can function, but the issue here is in relation to the passage of emergency legislation or legislation. But much of the issues that I've asked just addressed there doesn't require additional legislation. What it requires is either giving effect to powers that we already have or just making sure the issues are resolved.
And that was Deputy Piers Doherty. You can hear more from Deputy Doherty on our website, highlandradio.com. Well, earlier today, the Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin, said he's hopeful a new government can be formed within the next 3 weeks. He told Highland Radio's 9 till noon show this morning that talks are continuing between his party and Fine Gael with a view toward agreeing a programme for government which will manage the economic recovery that will follow the current coronavirus pandemic. Mr Martin wouldn't be drawn on whether the position of Taoiseach will be rotated, and if so, who would take it first?
3 weeks ago now, myself and the Oireachtas Premiership spoke about equality of partnership in terms of how both parties would engage with each other, both in terms of personnel and in terms of, more importantly, the programme for government and the actual substance of what we agree to implement over the next number of years, and particularly in the next 12 to 16 months in terms of the economic recovery. In my view, we have to focus on the policy agenda first and get that right. And I think the important thing is for the parties to continue with it to see, can we get a programme for government agreed within the next 2 weeks, and can we, critically, also get others on board who would subscribe or who would add to or have an input into that programme for government.
In terms of current ministries, for example, you know, obviously we have the education minister here, and a lot of the ministers, those that were re-elected, have stepped up to the plate and have had to make decisions and lead the departments. In this coalition, would you, obviously ministries would have to be divvied up, but would you be happy to see the likes of Joe McHugh continuing his role, for example?
Well, look, it would be a new government that has consequences in terms of, I know Joe well, but I mean, the outgoing government will cease when a new government is appointed, and you that's the basis on which you do that. It has to reflect the election outcome as well, and be reflective of that. But inevitably, that's a matter for the leaders of both parties, and indeed the parties respectively, in terms of portfolios and so on. The key thing is really that there's an agenda there that can be followed and implemented by whoever gets appointed to specific ministries.
When do you think we will see a new government in place?
Well, I would hope that within the next 2 to 3 weeks we would see the new government emerging.
Right now it's time for sports news, and we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donald. We start with news of the Olympic Games, and Tokyo 2020 will start on July 23rd next year and run until August 8th. The International Olympic Committee confirmed the new dates today after an IOC executive board meeting. The opening ceremony of the 32nd Games had been scheduled for July 24th this year, and were forced to postponed due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. The delay of 1 year was agreed by the board following discussions with the Tokyo 2020 Organising Committee and the international federations. Fun Valley walker Brendan Boyce has already qualified for the Games, while badminton duo Chloe and Sam McGee and 800 metre runner Mark English are hopeful of making it through qualifying events when sport gets the go-ahead to return. In boxing, Katie Taylor's bout with Amanda Serrano has been rescheduled for July 4th at the Manchester Arena. The fight was due to take place at the same venue in early May, but has been postponed. The Boxing Board of Control have banned all fights from taking place in the month of May because of the pandemic. Meanwhile, Billy Joe Saunders has had his boxing license suspended after posting a video giving men tips on how to hit their female partners. The WBO super middleweight champion has since apologised and said he would never condone domestic violence. Saunders will have to face a British Boxing Board of Control hearing before finding out if his license will be reinstated. In soccer, the heads of UEFA's 55 member associations will meet via video conference on Wednesday. They'll discuss how best to see the current season completed and the impact of COVID-19 on the game. Finally, in rugby, Ireland's test against Australia this summer is set to be postponed due to the pandemic. Rugby Australian chief executive Ryland Castle said home tests against Ireland and Fiji in July were highly unlikely to go ahead. He added that November fixtures in Europe could also be sacrificed to complete Super Rugby and the Rugby Championship. Ireland were due to play a two-test series in July in Brisbane and Sydney, while the Wallabies were also due to travel to Ireland later in the year at the end of the season. Finally, just a note on the DL debate, which will be available online at highlandradio.com this evening. It will be episode 8 of the podcast, hosted by former Donegal star Brendan Devaney. And on this week's episode, he'll be joined by Colin Parkinson, sports writer with the Donegal News, Ryan Ferry, and the man of a thousand voices, Aidan Cherney. It's one again not to be missed, the DL debate with Brendan Devaney. It's available on highlandradio.com from 7 o'clock this evening. Next bulletin on Highland is tomorrow morning. Donal.
Thank you, Washing. All council-owned and run cemeteries in the Derry City and Strabane District Council area are closed to the public from today. Under new government legislation, cemeteries can only open to facilitate funerals. Earlier, council confirmed the closure of all 11 council household recycling centres across the area, with people being urged not to leave materials outside the centres, but to use their own household waste collections instead. Mayor Michaela Boyle says the decision to close the centres was the right one.
We believe this was the right thing to do. The council took the decision to close all 11 sites. I would encourage and appeal to people to use their bins as normal. Bin collections will be operating as normal. I know a lot of people have taken the opportunity to clean up their homes and their gardens while they do have the extra time at home in recent days. But I would appeal to everyone to dispose of their household waste responsibly. There has already been some illegal dumping outside our centres, but I want to remind people that it is an offence to dump indiscriminately. So I would appeal to anyone, anybody that has household waste, to do the responsible thing. Keep it in your bins until your bins are collected.
And in terms of wider council services, obviously staff are going to be under pressure because of the restrictions that are being imposed. You'd be urging people, I'm sure, to bear that in mind when engaging with council services, be it online, be it by the phone, and just to remember that everyone is under pressure at the moment.
Everyone is. While most of us remain indoors, I want to take the opportunity to acknowledge the selfless dedication of our workers in these essential services who continue to serve the community at this difficult and uncertain time. And I've been heartened by the way everybody's pulled together to limit the spread of the virus, and indeed our workers within council are doing that. I would urge people to be responsible and be patient with our services on the ground also. People are working within our community, so it's imperative that we do all together to meet the challenges that poses and to limit the spread of the virus.
And that was the Mayor of Derry City and Strabane District Council, Councillor Michaela Boyle. There were more than 6,000 assaults on staff in the Irish Health Service last year. The North West recorded one of the highest figures. 61% of the assaults related to nursing staff. Over 4,000 of the assaults were physical. Just over 60 of them were sexual in nature. Sinn Féin is calling for more security at hospitals across the state, including the posting of around-the-clock security personnel in emergency departments at hospitals. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says, at a time when the commitment and dedication of health workers is to the forefront of people's mind, this behaviour is repugnant and must be tackled.
There is a problem with the levels of security in Letterkenny Hospital and in hospitals across the state, so for sure we need to put in place adequate numbers of security personnel, but there needs to be, you know, a proper sanction for people who are responsible for these offences. We can't be allowing sad stories to be given in court about how this person has never, you know, been in trouble before, etc., etc. Like, this has to be something that is seen in society as utterly repugnant, and that where people pay the price for what they're doing. That's the best way we can prevent this moving forward. This is an issue year in, year out. It's a small section of our society. They're utterly shameful in their behaviour, and it has to be confronted.
In terms of the current health crisis, one of the phrases we're hearing over and over in different contexts is things will not go back to the way they were. In the case of assaults on health workers and attitudes to health workers, particularly on the front line, that would seem to be very, very true indeed.
One of the only positives that I can see coming out of this crisis is that I don't think we will accept our health services being run down in the way that they have been in recent times. I think that we will see moving forward the need to have a much stronger health service and the need to protect our frontline health professionals, to value them more, and in this case, in terms of assaults, to absolutely reject people who are responsible for that and to make them pay the price for their behaviour. So I look forward, you know, when we get beyond this crisis, please God, that we have a much stronger health service and a much stronger determination to protect those who work in it.
And that was Deputy Padraig McLaughlin speaking to us earlier today. Looking at the weather forecast, there will be a mix of cloud and bright spells for the rest of today. Staying dry apart from some isolated showers, moderate northerly breezes fresh at times near the west coast. Cold tonight with some clear spells, dry in most parts, but again a few light showers possible near the coast. Moderate northerly breezes will become light away from the west coast. A few patches of mist or fog will form. Lows of 1 to 4 degrees Celsius generally, dipping to 0 or minus 1 where breaks in cloud persist for a time with some patchy frost. Any frost, mist or fog will clear tomorrow morning, leaving a largely dry day with some well-scattered showers, mainly in coastal parts. There'll be some bright or sunny spells, but cloudy periods as well. Highs tomorrow 8 to 10 degrees Celsius in light to moderate north to northwest breezes, coolest near windward coasts. And that's Highland Radio News. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. And before we go, we'll take a closing look at the Northwest headlines. And 123 new cases of coronavirus have been confirmed north of the border. The total number of cases is now 533. 22 of those who tested positive have died. The North's Department of Health is pledging to prioritise COVID-19 testing for staff at the Owen Moore Centre in Derry. It's been confirmed 6 residents of the care home have tested positive for COVID-19. A dedicated COVID-19 community response forum is being established in Donegal. A community support headline has also been established to assist at-risk members of the public in accessing non-emergency and non-medical supports and advice during the current pandemic. And that's Highland Radio News. As we say, back with more at 6 o'clock.
The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 30th of March. The death has taken place of James Joseph Duffy, formerly of Stanley's Walk, Derry. Due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, a private cremation is to take place. All family and friends will be welcome to a requiem mass to be held in Long Tower Chapel at a later date. The death has occurred of Joseph Meehan, Letcher, Killy Beggs. Arrangements to be confirmed later. Due to government and HSE restrictions, funeral will be limited to family only, please. The death has taken place of Samuel McCready, Drumbo Upper, Stranorner. Committal service has taken place at St Mary's Church, Stranorner, today. Donations in lieu of flowers to St Mary's Church, care of any family member or Gibson Funeral Directors. Service of thanksgiving will take place at a later date. The death has occurred of John Curran, 47, St Cummins Hill, Killybegs. In accordance with HSE and government directives, wake and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass will be streamed from St Mary of the Visitation Church, Killybegs, on Tuesday morning. Wake and burial, strictly private. A memorial Mass for John will take place at a later date. All inquiries to McBrearty undertakers. The death has taken place of Donal McBride, Leixlip, County Kildare, and formerly of Clonchella, Downings. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, funeral and burial are strictly private, please. The death has taken place of James Doherty, Clunche, Clonmany. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are restricted to family only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers if desired to the Buncrannan Nursing Unit, care of any family member, or Comiskey Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Bridie Campbell, 16, Windmill View, Letterkenny. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, funeral and burial are private to family only, please. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association or Diabetes Ireland, County Donegal Branch, care of Charlie McLafferty, Funeral Director, or any family member. The death has occurred of John Smullen, Clundara, Gortahork, and formerly of Eastwall, Dublin. In accordance with government directives, wake and burial are strictly private. A memorial mass for John will take place at a later date. Inquiries to McLafferty's funeral directors, Gortahork. And the death has taken place of Hugh McCallion, Ought, Tuir, Muff. His remains are reposing at his home. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, the house and funeral mass are restricted to immediate family only, please.